So our gospel reading today comes from Matthew chapter 5. You can follow along with me. As I said at the beginning, we've been in a sermon series on discipleship and making our way through the Beatitudes. We haven't done each one of them, but part of this is for us to be able to spend some time and thinking about what it means to be fully devoted as a follower of Jesus, but also part of what we've discovered is that we are imitating Jesus and taking on his character and then actually modeling that character to others. I like being poor in spirit and being meek, but also learning from Jesus how it is that he interacts with other people. He does that in a very particular way, and part of that you heard about last week in terms of what it meant to be blessed, to be merciful, and today to be a peacemaker. And without a doubt, one of the first steps in peacemaking is actually being able to see, thus all that's happened thus far in the service. But let's pray, and then I'll read this. Lord, we do pray that you would give us eyes to see, but also ears to hear. Especially today, we ask once again that your Holy Spirit, the very one who inspired these words, would now bring them home to us. And Lord, we do desire to be your faithful disciples. So help us in this, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so from Matthew 5, listen for God's word to you. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I don't know how often you've thought about it, and I know I haven't taught or preached about it probably enough, but I would submit to you today that everyday peacemaking is an essential part of being a disciple. It's how people will know that we are, in fact, the children of God. That's the way the blessing goes. As you are probably aware, life is not easy for peacemakers. They are the kind of folks that tend to advocate on behalf of one to the other, and then they'll turn right around and advocate on behalf of the other to the one. Peacemakers are often slow, very slow, to align themselves with the side, which draws the ire of everyone around them, since choosing sides is such a fundamental part of how our world functions. Often it is peacemakers that experience persecution in the midst of what they are trying to do. Still, though, Jesus was a bringer of peace. He made peace with God and peace with one another possible, and he was certainly one of those who found himself in those same kind of situations trying to peacemake. It's an interesting thing to think about the early church. One of the characteristics they were known for, without a doubt, was peacemaking because they were willing to welcome in Gentiles. In fact, later on, Paul would strike it up this way, saying that of Jesus and of the church, this was part of their calling to break down the dividing walls of hostility. Now, in English, the word peace usually refers to something like inner tranquility, peace of mind, or to an outward state like the absence of war. But peace in the scripture is different. It's a situation of sort of comprehensive well-being for people. So consider for just a moment the biblical word shalom, which is the Hebrew word almost always translated peace. But it conveys a picture of a circle that is extending. It means communal well-being in every direction, in every relation, sort of like throwing a rock in the pond. It moves its way outward, circles of expanding sense of well-being, extending to others in every direction and in every relationship. Is that what people sense when they are around you? Everyday peacemakers are those who work to round out our world's warp sphere. That's the way that Dale Bruner put it. But first and foremost, women and men who are involved in peacemaking see the humanity, the dignity, and the image of God in everyone around them. Everyday people, peacemakers, are people who bring creativity and new possibilities and get people to sit around tables and work out their differences. Everyday peacemakers are sometimes folks who bring justice into a situation, like fair wages and jobs to eliminate poverty. Everyday peacemakers are also the kind of people that take medicine and food and clean water to help eliminate disease so that just those circles of well-being keep on expanding. And these are the ones that the world even recognizes as the children of God. So when I was thinking about this week, I thought of several different people that would fit into this and groups. So I thought of Doctors Without Borders, who goes anywhere and everywhere that they are needed, no matter what is going on, to try to minister to those who are suffering. I thought about Steve Gumier, who's here, Partners Relief and Development, especially as they get into and work with refugees and with internally displaced people. This is exactly what they're doing to try to bring well-being to people in expanding circles. Dr. Bartha was here this morning. His work in Uganda is most certainly that, what Bob and Ramon Bilheimer do with the water wells. And every time we drill a well, it's an expanding well-being, not just for that one place, but it goes way beyond it and affects a whole lot more people. Most commentators will agree that while peacemaking, and we tend to think about it as these big, large things, that Jesus seems to be really wanting to press home the fact that this all begins in small, ordinary places, like in our marriages and our families and in our congregation and the people that we work with and out into our community and beyond, those expanding circles. So on Friday, I walked into our church, and there's lots of different activities that we do here that I don't always pay attention to, but the International Women's Group was meeting, and I've always thought about this group as having rather large arms. They seem to be able to find folks that are from all different nations that have come here to Midland and get together. But they were not only getting together, they were making hygiene kits, some of which we give out to the homeless people that come in for help. A number of them, probably most of them, are going to be going with a mission team that's going to be going to Bangladesh soon. And I got to think about all the generosity that I see sometimes in our community. And there's a psalm that says, when we are being generous, our generosity goes on and on and on. It's sort of that notion that there's expanding circles and groups of people that are impacted by the generosity that comes from us. Peacemakers. Have you ever thought of yourself as a peacemaker? When you read through the Gospels, you will notice that Jesus in his ministry had to deal with a lot of conflict. Jesus brought peace without a doubt, but this peace frequently had to pass through some really difficult things, like with his family and with the seriously devout, the Pharisees, if you will, and with the religious authorities of his day. Now, Tuesday in our men's Bible study, we were looking at Luke 13, and there's a part in there where Jesus goes to the synagogue, as was his custom. When he goes in, he notices that he sees a woman who is bent over. She is crippled, and she's been that way for 18 years. He doesn't ask her anything. He doesn't ask for permission. He just goes up to her and lays his hands upon her, and she is healed. She stands up straight. He sets her free from her ailment. He then speaks to her and reminds her that she is actually a daughter of Abraham and Sarah, which is a way to restore her not only within the synagogue but within her community. What a picture of peacemaking. Well-being for this one woman who's going to expand to the synagogue, who's going to expand to the community. The only problem, of course, is that the ruler of the synagogue is incensed. Indignant is the word that is used. So livid that Jesus has cured somebody on the Sabbath. Think of Jesus for just a moment. We are to know him as the Prince of Peace, as the Redeemer, the Reconciler. Isaiah calls him the Repairer of the Breach, the Restorer of Streets to Live in, the one who binds up the brokenhearted and brings release to the captives, the one who breaks down dividing walls of hostility and brings recovery of sight to the blind. This is the Jesus that we are following. So the way Jesus does peace is supposed to shape the way in which we become peacemakers. And I am convinced that it actually does begin with seeing, with the ability to see. There's a book that my daughter gave me called Mending the Divides. It's by John Huckins and Jer Swigert, and they are very realistic about what peacemaking takes in our world that is so caught up with many divisions and conflicts and enmity. So they talk about the fact that peacemaking will certainly involve the capacity to see, but also the willingness to immerse with other people, to contend and to restore. But I really just want to talk to you today about the first step of that, which is to see. Again, everyday peacemakers are men and women who see the humanity, dignity, and image of God in all the people that are around them. You may have already known this, but there are 31 specific miracles that are mentioned in the Gospels. This does not include the times when it says, and Jesus healed many of their sick, but the ones that tell us about a particular person, there are 31 of them, and one in four of those miracle stories involves the healing of sight. It occurred to me that we should pay attention to that. So I wanted you to hear about blind Bartimaeus once again and to pay attention to the details. So Jesus is coming into Jericho, and yes, it is the same Jericho that Joshua came into, and the people of Israel marched around the walls and marched around the walls until they fell down. This is the same Jericho, and as Jesus goes in, he meets this large crowd. But there is a man off by the side of the road who is blind, and he is crying out. He is a beggar, and he starts shouting out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd tries to get him to shut up, but he says it all the louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And the scripture says, Jesus stood still. He stopped. And he says, "Call him here." And then he poses a question. "What do you want me to do for you?" "Rabbi," says Bartimaeus, "I want to see." It's a prayer that we who are not physically blind must learn to pray if we are going to be faithful disciples. Much like that video that I showed you before the sermon, mostly I did this because I found myself relating a lot to that guy as he walks out his door and gets on his way and gets in his car and goes, has somebody cut in front of him as he is pulling in, and all that goes on at the coffee shop. He is looking, but he doesn't see. Until he is given those glasses, he's caught up with his own assumptions and presumptions about all the people that he's looking at. Oh, that we could get, it would that be that simple, to just get glasses where we could see that. But he sees beneath the surface, finally, or he sees beyond the externals of the people that are around him, the ones that are discontent and lonely and need a friend, the others that are grieving or running away from home, or they've lost their job, or they just need a hug, or they just need someone to care. I guarantee you, every single day, no matter where you are, there are people like that all around you, and we just don't see it. What do you see? I don't mean primarily here when we're in church. Maybe we're a little more willing to see, to behave when we're here in church, but when you think about what's going to happen on Wednesday at like 10 a.m. or Wednesday at lunch, when you're out in the thick of it, when you're in the midst of your work or wherever it might be, what then, out on the front lines, what will you see? Because the way that Jesus does peace is supposed to shape the way in which we go about being peacemakers. So three things that I'd like to encourage you to do this week and beyond. First is to actually pray that prayer. Jesus, I want to see. I want to begin to see people the way that you see people. And right along behind that, as part of that same prayer, you probably are going to need, if you're at all like me, to also quickly ask for forgiveness. Because you find out that your own personal preference or importance or your own assumptions or presumptions or opinions or biases get immediately in the way but to pray that you could see. Secondly, I want to encourage you to do what Jesus did, and that is to lead with questions. Do you see how brilliant that is? Jesus seems to do it almost all the time. He doesn't come and make a statement to people very often. He certainly doesn't come and tell them what the answer is most of the time, or which side they should be on, or any of the rest of it. He's always asking a question. It's a way in which he engages people. I'm convinced it's one of the ways in which people engaged with him, because they knew they were being heard and listened to. To begin with a question, and maybe to learn to ask better questions. Like, what is holding this person back? Or what's underneath the attitude of that person that's annoying me so much? Or what might be behind the facade in this person's life? Or what moments have shaped this person's life? What needs or hopes or aspirations do they have? What lack of hope or discouragement or despair do they have? But to simply ask a question. And finally, to give just a little bit of time. Again, Jesus was brilliant about this and seemed to always stop in the midst of how busy he was. He heard this man crying out and he stands still. It happens often with Jesus in the Gospels. He will just stop and he will pay attention to the person who is crying out. To look and then to begin to actually see, to notice, to pay attention, to give a little bit of your time. This is the beginning for us of peacemaking. To just pray that you will begin to see, to ask some questions, to take a little time. Who is it that our Lord would have you see this week? Now, God knows how profoundly broken and divided our world is, that this is not all there is to peacemaking, but it is a beginning. And if we are to imitate and follow Jesus, our discipleship will involve everyday peacemaking, where we are learning what it means to extend that shalom in all directions, in every relation. But you know what? Even when we do this just a little bit, people recognize, they will recognize that we are the children of God. May it be so for us. Amen.